Alright everybody, and welcome to episode 318 of the 9 Years Podcast. I am Nick Draper. I am joined as always by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. We apologise for the delayed posting of this week's podcast. I joked, Stu, on Twitter that we had to delay recording because we've been off training the Welsh international podcast team. We might come back to that in just a moment. This week we will be talking about a win at long last. Happy, happy days. Our second win of 2023. We'll be looking ahead to the visit of Rochdale on the weekend. We have a very interesting Jackson 5, which is actually a Jackson 6 this week. And on that side of it is very personal to me, of course, as some of you may have already got the hint about that one. But Stu, let's start with the Chris Gunter issue. Last week, I spoke to Chris Stewart on this very podcast, and yep. I said that personally, I had no issue whatsoever with Chris Gunter going away to pursue his coaching career with Wales. It's caused a little bit of disquiet amongst the fan base, probably more to do with the timing of announcements alongside a glut of injuries that we had, which left us really, really short for the trip to Barrow. But it's something I actually saw you reference elsewhere earlier today, which is funny because I was going to say this to you on the podcast, which was, I could imagine Chris Gunter going into a coaching career might well benefit us in the long run.
Yeah, so I've had the benefit of being down a training ground a few times and seeing Chris Gunter in a training situation, and he's really good. It's funny sometimes people say he doesn't chat. I think Chris Gunter, you can sort of fall under the George Frankham effect. Because I think he's like Marmite. You get some people like him, some people don't. Probably because he's in competition with Hussein Byler.
Yeah,
who's one of our homegrown and stuff. But I've seen Chris Gunter training. He's really good. Always talking. Always. You can see. You can definitely see him being a coach. You can just, and also the experience he's got. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to be he's going to look into coach next season. And hey, look, it might be controversial. I don't think it is, but I'd actually take him as a coach at Wimbledon. I think you can't. That experience you can't buy. If we're looking to progress. But I don't have a major issue with it. It was pretty agreed. Joe Jackson's already said that. I think he came out of London, the South London press saying, look, it was pretty agreed. It looked worse because the same Byler picks up his injury. But I think there's so many people that just want to have I think Chris Gunter, like I say, is the George Frankham of this era. And no matter what he does, he's going to come out smelling a shit.
What a beautiful metaphor.
Yes.
I mean, the phrase pre-agreed really irritates me for some reason, but fine, it is what it is. As I say, I've got no issue with going away to Wales. I can also understand, though, I can understand the disquiet from fans. Perhaps there was a window for him to have said, look, thank you very much, Wales. This opportunity is fantastic. However, my employers at the moment are in a bit of a tricky spell. It's a bit of an awkward time for me to be leaving. Can we, on this occasion, come to some sort of post-agreement? But I fully get that.
And that's where I think people are going, is he committed? Because he could have said that. And I get that. I get that completely. But equally, he obviously wants a career out. He wants a career to continue within the game, doesn't he? He's only 33. And he obviously he's done well enough, hopefully, to coach. I'd take him this season. Experience, contacts, I think it can only be a win-win if that's the situation that transpires.
Interesting when we look at fullbacks sometimes, because sometimes people will look at Gunter and perhaps think we lose some forward momentum that we probably get with Hussein Byler when he plays, or Isaac Ogun-Gediri even, as we saw this week. Sort of links me on to a tactical point about our win. Yes, you heard that correctly, our win over Warsaw, the only Polish team in the English Football League, on Tuesday night. But you were just saying to me before we started recording, Stu, something I didn't realise, but it appears Warsaw played with a back four, but they were all technically centre-halves?
Yeah, they're a big side. Yeah, they normally play with a three. When I was doing a preview for our live show, they normally play with a three centre-halves, but played four against us. And interestingly, in the first 10 minutes, they looked to change from a flat four to a diamond. Because I think what I try to do is match us up, because one of the good things at the moment that we've sort of not found out, so I think we know that Armani Little is probably better going in a more of a forward position rather than having a defensive responsibilities, which I don't think he's as good at. I think he's better going forward than he is defensively, sort of side of it. And they change in the first 10 minutes when they changed to a diamond to try and match us up. Because if you think about it, we started really brightly, didn't we? I've looked back at that Casey McAteer side foot chance, and I think that only whistles past the post, doesn't it? But we got a lot of joy really from us breaking, and they changed. So interestingly, see why they went with a four, to be fair, because we only play normally with one up, don't we? So seemed a weird one. But yeah, they consistently play a 3-5-2, and I was saying to you before, their two centre halves are ever present this season, which obviously, if you look at their goals against, they don't let many goals in. Thankfully, and to be fair, we could have run out 3-4-0 winners on Tuesday night.
What was different? I mean, afterwards, there was obviously an immense sense of relief. I think it all reminded us what it was like to be a football fan, as it were, in some way. The actual joy of the experience of winning felt like everyone came together for Tuesday night's game. Obviously, the team, for me, there's never been any question about their effort, their application, their hard work. I think they've all been playing for their manager, absolutely, and playing for the team. But when you actually need to get that win across the line, when it's been so long without one, you saw what it meant to people. Aside from the effort and the hard work and everything like that, what else really changed on Tuesday? Because I've struggled with this one. There was energy about us, but it was difficult to really see what we were really doing that differently.
Yeah, well, look, they're a big side. They're a big side, 6 foot. It's the same old thing. Every sub that come on was bigger than the sub they replaced. It was, like land of the giants. But I think we got a ball on the floor and we played. I think the two people, I think Woody and Marshall in midfield, I thought done well. I thought they protected the back four. We have to say, you probably have to argue, you probably have to say that equally the game was better for Aaron Pierre and Will Nightingale. They had Wilkinson, who is proper old, and they had him up there. It wasn't they going running behind them, so I think we could probably stay our higher up, not worried about something. They were never going to play a ball behind us, were they? I think that's the thing. And I think if you look at players like Casey McAteer, Ethan Chislett, Armani Little, Sakujana done a decent job. Hey, look, Sakujana is not a target man. He is not someone to lead the line. I'll give you an example. I couldn't stop laughing. There was nothing against Yana, right? But there was one bit, Aaron Pierre just knocked a ball high up in the air. Yana's got to go for it, because you can't not go for it. And he gets absolutely wiped out. You know people that play, you play the game in like those massive footballs, like they bash into each other, don't they? Like, I can't imagine, like the air bubbles
Like
things.
the zorbing type thing.
Yeah. It was like Yana being hit by one of those. He literally went flying. And I was like, you poor. But to be fair, at the same time, we really played that sort of ball. We played a lot of ball around the sides of them, and I think that's what it was. I think we just played better. We played two halves instead of one. In terms of, and Joe, you know, I think the biggest difference was when we got the first goal. The second is really important, and we had a sub on the bench that could change, that could not such change the game, but what a sub to have in Al Hamadi. As soon as he comes on, he did a cameo, didn't he? He did a 20-minute. 10, 15 minutes, come on,
Literally,
scored the goal. But that, I think that extra impetus really took the game away from Walsall.
I mean, we got the opening goal. I think it's perhaps not been spotted because the long spells again, I thought that, not a great deal was happening. You mentioned the McAteer chance he's pushed just wide. Woody had the header that the keeper did well to tip over the bar. Then there was
Yeah,
a
great.
long smell. A long smell? A long
The smell wasn't
spell.
that bad, was it?
Now we've moved away from the buried and sewage works and now got rid of that. But no, a long spell where it wasn't a great deal happening. And then we work the ball wide to Isaac and he actually takes his fullback on. He takes his man on and beats him and wins the corner. And from the corner, we get the first goal. And I think that's perhaps been missed sometimes. And again, two goals. First goal from a corner since October. And then a second one follows shortly afterwards. So the importance, we mentioned it earlier in the season. We weren't playing fantastic football. We were grinding out some positive results and we were very reliant on set pieces. But hey, they've come in handy again for us. And that seemed to push us over the line.
Yeah, and it's ironic, isn't it? But yeah, it's probably your biggest side that we're going to face this season. I can't think of a side that's been bigger, for a whole
That's a good
11.
question. Yeah, that's a good
You know
question.
what I mean? And we score a header. It's mad, isn't it? But Joe, I thought Will Nightingale was excellent. I think Joe Will gets a lot of bad press sometimes, but he's a better defender than people
Do
make
you know
out.
what? There is a rant, I think, in me for people's completely unfair opinions of Will Nightingale.
Yeah, I see. I chat to a few people who are invested in Will's career, put it that way, right? Family members who look at stats, and he comes out top on stats,
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
and I just think if you're going through a game where you need to roll down, roll up your sleeves, get amongst them, I think Will is that person in that team, and I just think he gets a lot of bad press, but he's a very good defender. And he's got on a header, and he's really led it. And then from then, like I say, I've been a bit critical of Aaron Pierre, not because of his ability, but I just don't think he's fit, if I'm being honest with you. And that's nothing against him, because you wouldn't be match fit if you're not playing much of the season. However, I thought he was probably his best game for us on Tuesday night.
He looked svelte in comparison to what I'd seen previously.
I did laugh though, right? This is funny. At the end of the game, I do a lap of honour, right? He was knackered, he cut across the pitch.
Oh.
I saw it and I'm like, I'm not surprised. You've just obviously, you've travelled, he's playing out in, I don't know where they're playing, in America, so it must be in that sort of part of the world. You know what
Central
I mean?
America, yeah.
That's the place. So he's obviously had a bit of a longer trip, hasn't he? Then played and probably, shattered. So, but it did make me laugh. But Joe, what? Fair play to him. I've got no problem if someone leaves everything out on the pitch. And I don't know who got, because Will got man of the match, didn't he?
Yeah,
Because of the header. But I think he could have equally given it to a few players out there. And Aaron, wasn't far off it either.
I wondered if Will's also. I mean, me personally, I would have given it to Will, but I also think in the back of my mind, there's also the Crawley game where I thought he was a little bit unfair that he didn't get it. But anyway, in terms of Will as a player, as we said, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I also think I hear people say all the time, "Oh, Will can't bring the ball out; he can't pass the ball." I'm thinking you're watching different games to me. You've made up. I think there are people that have made up their minds about him, as people do from time to time. And if they see one example of it, they can go, "Ha, see, told you, he can't do this X, Y, Z, whatever it might be." I just don't think that's the case. I think he's been excellent. I thought he was excellent before he got injured earlier in the season, but wasn't getting the credit. But never mind. Moving on, the thing about that lap of honour at the end of the game, Stu, has been something random that's come to me. But in the old days, when I used to start watching football, it felt like a lot of the stadiums I'd go to, the players would enter the pitch in one of the corners, from one of the corners. So as they're coming off, they're pretty much, certainly at Selhurst Park, they'd come off and they'd clap. The majority of the home fans are behind the goal at Selhurst Park, okay, right? Because of, so they'd clap on their way off. And now, of course, stationed on the halfway line with the tunnel. They go round when we win. They do a lap of honour. It's very difficult because when you don't win games and things like that, you don't really want to clap the fans off, and people fans get annoyed. They go, "Oh, I can't even bother to clap." Do you know what I mean? It's one of those really awkward ones. So what I'm basically saying is, I don't think we don't. I guess Tuesday night was an exception, but we don't. I don't always feel like we need to have perhaps a full lap of honour every time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because Selhurst Park, you're right. But then, to be fair, Selhurst Park, we only filled up one stand, so that's what they used to come to. You'd never be a case in going around the whole stadium because half of it was empty.
Oh, this is true. Well, saying
Well, yeah, we come on to that. I don't mind it so much. I don't mind it so much. But then I know, look, you and me, I embrace change. I know you don't like change, so I'm probably just I get used to things so quickly.
in honor of the soon to be departed Soccer AM, can I just say change is not good?
Oh, that's been dying when it's asked for ages, let's be fair. Probably
Yeah.
since I left it, right, since I left doing the catwalk, do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably when it went downhill.
Because in the decade after you did yours in 2000, that decade was not at all. There was no popularity for that show whatsoever after that, Stu. Not at all.
It
None.
was so po it was so popular. It was so popular. And like, I remember we were Spurs away, and I had people literally laughing at me doing a catwalk noise, and I'm like, mate, I've been absolutely rinsed. I don't mind it so much, but I think what I would say is that Johnny Jackson, to his credit, clapped didn't go around the side of the ground, around the whole ground, but he did clap fans after the Croy defeat. But he didn't have to, he could have just stormed off, you know, that sort of stuff. And I was interesting that he said, you know what, that's what we deserved. He didn't hide away from it.
No.
So then I'm equally, I'm like, if he's helped, you know, he's put a team out and he's driven them through, I we think, you know what, fans need to recognize that. So I don't overly mind it. But it becomes difficult if you're not winning. That's your problem.
That's the problem.
Because it can look a bit condescending, going, thank you, it's fault, but we were shit on the pitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I don't mind it. And you know what? Al Hamadi, I thought at one point he got into the crowd and actually was going out via the turnstiles. Because I think he went into the crowd. Do you know what? He is quickly becoming a fan's favourite, definitely for me. I absolutely, do you know what? I get off my seat when he comes up, when he plays. Don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean what we need as a team though is, because if you do look back, I think if you take Ali's goals away from the team, we'd only be 2 points worse off. And that's the problem you've got. So you've got a goal scorer in a team that until Tuesday wasn't winning any games. So really want to make the best of your asset. What will be interesting is how we go about things next season, because although Josh works really, really hard, as you're saying earlier about Janna, again, not really a natural target man. So if you want to play with the two up top, I mean, I was looking back over previous seasons, a lot of talk about managers and results, and I'll tell you a fascinating stat about Wally Downs, actually, which I couldn't believe when I worked it out. But we'll look back at some of the pairings, and we talked about when we lost Tom Elliott, if you remember, in the first season of League One. I think we went for the following season. I think we were attempting to go with Lyle and Kwezi Appiah as a front two. It was never going to work. I think we corrected that. If you remember the following season, I think we went out and got James Hansen to address that concern. So that's just something to think about in the future, of course. If you're going to go, you can't not play Ali. You can't not play Josh. Can you play the two of them together? Not sure.
I think you change formation, don't you? I think it's. I don't think you want Josh or Andy going out wide, but that's
No.
probably in this. That's probably in this team. You know, I think if you've got two workhorses in midfield with Woody, you could play a three in there, and then your two players can always go up. Let's be fair, Lyle Taylor spent more time in the wing than he did going through the middle, didn't he? I don't think Andy wants to play that way, but equally, he's 20. He's adaptable. On that side of it. So it's an interesting one. I think in the current format, no, but I wouldn't be surprised. I reckon we're going to get some big, ugly, and no disrespect, some big, ugly midfielders in the summer. I think we've seen what League Two is, and it's basically an ugly team. You know, I don't mean ugly, you know, look, hey,
No,
look,
we know what you
you know
mean.
what I mean by that. But if you look at Barrow, if you look at what Barrow done, Northampton, Leighton Orient, the only one that bucked the trend, really. Leighton Orient bucked the trend because of how they play. But everyone else is a big team. We're not far away from that. But then if you can have your... you're right what you're saying about Ali, right? Could you imagine if we got Ali? I know we wouldn't have because of the window. But if we got Ali in October when we were winning those 1-0s and the 0-0s against Bradford and stuff like that, he could have made a massive difference, couldn't he? Because you're right, the goals he's getting at the moment are probably just giving us a draw or keeping us in the game or not even that. But if we could have him taking those chances in a team that can defend, keep clean sheets like we did on Tuesday, then it's a different ball game.
Yeah, massively important to keep that clean sheet. And just a shout out to Luke Jenkins before we move on, because he comes on, makes his professional debut, scores very, very early away at Barrow. Circumstances, he had late had to come off, but thrown into the deep end completely of all places to go. And again, like I said, yes, we lost to Barrow. We all thought we were going to lose at Barrow. We had 11 players that would be considered first teamers missing for various reasons. But just again, you cannot fault the effort and you can't fault the application. If Ethan Chislett scores a chance, should have done better just before half time, we might have even got something. So anyway.
Yeah, it's that same goal, isn't it? It's that same goal. Every time there's a goal apart. Let's be fair, Barrow couldn't play any worse than they did the first half. But set pieces.
Yeah,
Set
set
pieces
pieces,
again, wasn't it? You know what I mean? And we weren't a big side. But yeah, I've heard a lot about Luke Jenkins, that he's highly rated by the club, and to be fair, you can see why.
Absolutely. And also, sorry, a quick shout out to Nathan Broome for a clean sheet as well on I guess that's his home league debut, and a fantastic save at the end.
Yes.
Warsaw Warsaw look like? We're not going to spend any time with them. They look like they didn't look particularly interested. I'm not sure. They're very highly rated manager. Lots of problems when he left Newport, didn't he? They weren't very happy with him leaving Newport. Done a fantastic job there. Second half, Stu, sat where we are. We got a great view. He'd given up. He and his assistant had just sat down. They weren't doing anything. They did not look like a happy camp.
First half, they were quite animated, weren't
Yeah, they
they?
were.
Yeah. I think the second goal knocked the stuffing out of them. Maybe AJ could argue the first goal knocked the stuffing
I
out
think it
of
was before that, to be fair. I
them.
think it was even before the first goal. They seemed like, I don't know what had gone on, but anyway.
I noticed that. And they had, is it Hartwell Hatzell, who I think we come across in non-league, their number two?
Okay,
I think
we'll
we
take your
come
word for
across
it.
in Oxford. Joe, I remember players of older year. I don't remember many Wimbledon players, to be fair. But yeah, no, I noticed that. But yeah, you're right. He was a bit more vocal first half, second half. Yeah, their team gave in. But then, like I say, they can't go up, they can't go
Yeah, they were very much the definition of being on the beach, which is very
down.
difficult to do if you live in Warsaw. Wally Downs, by the way, I just mentioned him there. Do you know his record? I didn't realise what his actual record was. At the point that Wally Downs parted company as manager of AFC Wimbledon in 2019, we were 1-16. It's mad, isn't
When he
it?
come in,
No, when he left.
oh, when he
His
left,
luck. He'd won of he'd only won one of his last 16 in the league, 1 in 17 if you include the cup. All I'm saying is I just did not realise it was quite that
No,
level.
I'm surprised it was that level, but I do remember, like I say, when we stayed up, I remember we didn't kick on the next season.
Yeah,
I didn't realise we didn't kick on at all.
we didn't win a game
That
in that
is
time.
surprising.
Yeah.
But then I think to say what he got the grace and the way what he left is different anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think what he got that grace, didn't he? Because I was listening to a BBC London hour they had on
Yeah, they did that.
Wednesday,
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
and it was interesting. The guy from the South London Press was quite honest and said, "You know what, Mark Robinson and Wally Downs all got grace because of their connection with Wimbledon, and Johnny Jackson isn't." That probably highlights it. Let's be fair, 16 games. But then, let's be fair, we stayed up. After we stayed up, we should never have stayed up. Let's be fair. You should have been given the key to the city or the town, sorry, after that. Or
Yeah.
King's Meadow, which would be quite expensive now.
The key to Norbiton. Nobody even wants
Let's
that.
be fair, that staying up was a massive, let's not forget how far away we were, like 10 points at one point,
Oh, yeah,
weren't
we were gone. We thought we'd all gone. Yeah.
right, how we ever stayed up in that, it's just, yeah, madness.
Yes. Absolute madness. And forget, James Hansen himself was quite important in those final few games as well. But anyway, right. Talking about great escapes brings us nicely on to Jackson 5, which is actually Jackson 6 this week, Stu, because in honour of the fact we are playing Rochdale on Saturday. And I look back to our first meeting with Rochdale as AFC Wimbledon, which our first trip to Spotland, because I remember it well. We
I
won
do.
1-0 with Paul McCallum scoring a goal. It's the only time I've ever been to Rochdale and probably will be the only other time I go. Anyway, it got me thinking. I was investigating that 2012-13 season. Now, this is a really tricky question, Stu. I don't expect you to get this one at all. It's one, though, I think some listeners would be interested in, would like to test their memories. And if I hadn't looked at the answers, this one would have interested me, actually. So, that season, we Rochdale away, a 1-0 win, was one of only 7 clean sheets that we kept in the league that season. Interestingly, they were all wins, which basically means we didn't have a nil-nil draw that season. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you remember the other 6 teams that we kept clean sheets against that season? 2012, 2013. And as I say, they were all victories.
Barry?
Not Bury.
Damn, that was my sort of home banker. Dagenham
There we go. Yeah, we won 1-0 at Dagenham and Redbridge.
Redbridge.
Kevin St. Luce scored the winner.
Who would have been Scunthorpe?
No, not Scunthorpe. I'll give you four
Trying to
more
think of teams.
guesses.
I'm trying to think of teams that have been in there around there. Crewe? That'd be League One. Southend? How many guesses I've got now?
Eight.
Crawley?
No, so they actually would have been in League One at that point.
Damn, those glory hunters.
Yeah.
Sorry. The days for crypto. Who else would have been in our league at that time? Cambridge, I think I've said them already.
Cambridge would have still been in non-league, I think, at that
Damn
point.
these
So
people.
sadly, no. Right, but you're also going to test my memory now because I've not got the list to hand. So I do remember two of them were at home and five of them were away. The two at home were Chesterfield on the opening day. We won 1-0, bizarrely, and we were all like, how the hell have we done that? We watched us in pre-season. Well, I hadn't, but the pre-season results have been shocking. And Morecambe later in the season, we actually beat 2-0 at King's Meadow. So that was the two home games. The five away games, Rochdale, you've already mentioned, we've already mentioned. Wycombe Wanderers. Oh, sorry, Rochdale and Dagenham and Redbridge are the two we mentioned. So the other three will be Wycombe Wanderers, just after Terry Brown had departed. Simon Bassey in interim charge. Got a 1-0 win there. Aldershot Town, big 1-0 victory late in the season. Aldershot were then
Love
getting
all the shot.
relegated last time we went there. And York City at Bootham Crescent. We won 3-0. So there we go.
Yeah, we did actually. And I went, oh, do you know what that brings that with Lyle? No, Lyle wouldn't have been there then, would he?
That was pre-Lyle Taylor, yeah.
Because I remember I got a picture. I took a picture at York
Oh, that
with
was a
Lyle scoring,
yeah, that was
and
a 3-1 win, I think.
I was lucky enough for that to be used in the change rooms. I actually used that as you know they were putting pictures above
Yes, yeah.
people. Yeah, one of my picture actually was
There you
one that
go.
was used for Lyle. It was a good picture, to be fair. It was a luck. I think I must have taken about 50 chances
What were
actually
you
to.
doing on your phone, Stu? Live in the moment.
I
You
think that yeah, do you know what? I think
should
that
have
was the
been
days of
busy bundling people on the terrace.
York, you just had to keep warm, to be fair. Yeah, I think do you know what I think it was? I think that was when the phones had just sort of not just come out, but they the phone the photo part of the camera part
Yes,
of it.
had become as
And I
potentially
think
like.
a lot of us were like, oh, do you want to take a picture of our phone? We're now you're like, bloody hell.
Yeah.
It was interesting actually say about Crawley. I don't know if you've seen today the stats have come out or the figures come out for agents' fees that are being used, you know, in terms of how much we spent on agents per
Yeah.
club.
Okay.
We spent 46 grand, which Eric would probably be screwing about that he's done that.
Yeah. Oh,
Crawley
God.
weren't the highest, but 110,000.
What a waste of money.
Exactly. I think the highest was Stockport, 240,000.
This is just money that's going out of the game. I just never understand it. I never understand this. And yes, I mean, I would be similar to Eric and I'd be like, why? These people, for me, they're chances. They're absolute chances. Like, come
But it
on.
just shows you can't get it. It just shows you actually how challenging it's going to be for Craig Cope to get these deals over because the agents do expect some
It's
money. And
mental, isn't it? Like
if but
that.
it can hold, you know, there's a lot of players now who are on the same agencies. I heard a few, I'm not gonna say it was, but I heard a few people on the same agency in our club. And that helped to get the deal going because we used that agency. Do you know what I mean? It's like in that, it's like the old non-league thing where if you play for my club, I want to come with you because I'm
It's
going to
like a
bring
bit
the
of
whole
a
team with me.
cabal, really. Yeah.
Do you want to guess randomly? Do you want to guess who used the least amount on agents?
In League Two. I mean, it's going to be someone you wouldn't expect, I'm going to assume, hence why you've asked the question. I cannot for one second believe it if it was, but for some reason, I'm thinking Stevenage.
No, Stevenage actually was higher than what I thought.
Okay.
Let's get away from that Steve Evans link.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I was there.
No, it's true. 11,000.
Oh, fair enough. Fair play.
This is
I
mad,
might
isn't it? Yeah,
creep.
three. Yeah, but three times. Sorry, nearly four times as much as we have, and we've got. But I think you know. Let's be fair. You're probably thinking that it's players I could probably imagine we used fees for. Definitely Josh Davidson.
Yeah.
But you know, just interesting one of it. And but if you look at it, it does the people that spent the most money on agents really have done well in a league, except for Crawley.
I think there is a wider conversation to be had about agents in the game. I might imagine I go to my imagine at the end of this year I go to my head teacher and I'll just be like, and they're like, okay, so next year you're gonna do such change in routine, do you know, responsibilities, da 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 da, we're gonna pay you this, and I'm gonna be like, just get my agent. Like, come on, they're gonna sort out, and then you're gonna have to pay my agent as well some fee for just sitting in a room and arguing over not anyway. Let's not go down that route. We're running out of time. Rochdale. Bottom of the league, shit. They have won two of their last 16 games, which is the same as what we've done, but they just hadn't had a very good start to the season and they're bottom, and they are essentially, for all intents and purposes, Stu, going down. I do not see a way back for them. They've just sacked their manager. He's gone, Jim Bentley. Jim McNulty is an interim charge for the trip to Plough Lane on Saturday. Their top scorer, I think, is Devante Rodney, but he seems to be injured and has not appeared recently. They've got Ian Henderson playing, and he is 82 years old. Now, before we get onto predictions for the score, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, Stu, is that everyone who stayed away on Tuesday night, because there were not 6,800 people in the stadium on Tuesday night, as I spoke with Chris Stewart last week, we all know about the deal with season tickets and they are counted whether the person turns up or not. I would say we might have hit 5,000 people actually to quote...
bums on seats.
No. What to quote you, Stu, buns on seats is what we had on Tuesday night. But they're all going to come back on Saturday and we're going to get a big crowd again on Saturday because they've, oh, we've won. There, loads of people are going to come flocking back. And you know what that means? We ain't going to win.
Are fans that fickle?
Yes. Football fans, yes. We know this. Football fans are so fickle.
Look at put a caveat in, right? Rochdale, yes, you're right. No, you know, managers, we don't know. They know we play a 3-5-2. Would they go with that? Sometimes it's difficult to know how teams are going to set up under a new...
Yeah.
I think their assistant manager has gone as well.
Yeah.
But interestingly, they beat Stevenage 2-0 after we lost to them 3-2 midweek.
True, they did.
And they drew 4 with Swindon when Charlie Austin decided just to score as many goals as he could.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is it's not a walkover as much as we probably think.
Oh, no.
And they're not coming for, I think they're going to have to come in for a win. I don't think draws do them any good at the moment.
I think they are a more difficult opponent than Walsall for that very reason.
Oh yeah, massively. Yeah.
Walsall, I would go as far as to say Walsall were the worst team I've seen this season. I think that's probably not unfair, in sense of maybe not in terms of quality, but in terms of how they played on the day.
Well, I think we're the worst team I've seen this season, to be fair. But then does that count? And also, I've seen us a lot more, so I've got more to pick from.
Yeah, this is true. But anyway, prediction then for Walsall. Scoreline prediction?
3-2.
Ooh, wow. Goals. Okay. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. It'll be interesting to see how many people are actually inside the stadium and how many have got the hearing. If the West Stand, Tannoy is a brand name, public address system, is ranked or whacked up to whatever level it was, which just, I couldn't, it, I, yeah, just, oh my God.
It was like a rage, right? Do you know what? The hilarious thing is, right? I went out, I was fortunate enough to sit on the second floor on Tuesday, and I come out of the Silver Lounge things, and I felt like I'd just gone to a raid, right? But there were some people in front of me, so I asked them to move. And you hear all this music, this loud rave, you think this place must be rocking, and there's no one in the stadium.
Yeah. It was literally...
It was basically playing to an empty audience.
Yep, there was about 3,000 John Cena's there.
It was seriously loud. Like, seriously loud. Yes.
And it, unfortunately, it distorts the sound completely as well. So you can't really hear what is actually being pumped out, to be honest.
And also those advertising boards. Oh, too bright.
Don't start me. Don't get me started. The
thing is, I said to Rob straight away, Nick is going to be absolutely going mad in his seat. Like, they were so bright.
I promise you, there are times when the ball's over that side of the pitch where us in the West Stand are guessing what is happening, judging by the reactions of people on the other side. Because you cannot see. It's not just the ball you can't see. You actually lose players in it, especially at night games.
There was a ball boy in the far corner, and he was like a silhouette all the time. He was sitting down, right?
Yeah.
So he was like a silhouette.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Couldn't see anything on him.
No.
It can't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It just seems so bright. And especially when you get, let's be fair, Ryegas, the most luminous orange you're ever going to see anywhere. On that. If anything was, I saw Ryan O'Sullivan, who obviously is Ryegas's owner and does a great job. And he was in a bright orange jacket. I couldn't stop laughing. Said hello, and I'm like, I'll never guess who you work for. Well, he owns it, to be fair.
Yeah, yes.
But he had a luminous orange. I'm like, you'll never lose him in a crowd.
The future is bright. The future is orange, except they no longer exist. Anyway, very quickly then, Stu, because we are running out of time. I want to do a quick on this side of it for listeners that enjoy a bit of the wrestling, because it's WrestleMania this week, Stu.
Again.
WrestleMania. So, yes, yay. Yes, yay. Not really, though, because you know
yes,
why?
Yes, yay.
Many, many years ago, as you know, I went...
You did.
Four of us travelled over to Orlando to watch WrestleMania, to do the whole WrestleMania weekend. That was in a bit of a spell where there were a number of Wimbledon fans that were going to WrestleMania in those few years and had been to the one in, we know Darren Fawn, of course, went to Texas the year before, and others went to New Orleans the following year. That was peak WrestleMania, Stu. You had the Hall of Fame on the Friday night, you had NXT show on the Saturday night, WrestleMania on the Sunday night, you had the Raw on the Monday night, SmackDown on the Tuesday night. They perfected the model. Now they've made it WrestleMania two nights. And they have done for a few years now. It was because of COVID. So the year that COVID hit, they had to do it in a building with no fans were allowed in. So they split it over two nights to make it less of a chore to sit watching people wrestle with no atmosphere. Da, 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 da. But then they realize they can charge two nights worth of stupidly priced tickets and double their income. And but it's not a two night thing. I'll never get on board with the two night thing. So it's sad. So it is WrestleMania this weekend. Yes, I will watch it, even though I'm not really watching the product at the moment. But yeah, so just, I'm going to chuck some predictions at you for the wrestling fans in the listenership. So Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, who's winning that one?
Away win.
What does that even mean?
It means that I forgot the perfect people you said straight away.
Okay, let's go for Roman Reigns.
That'd be
Okay,
embarrassing,
he's
yes.
been the champion for about 800, 900 days, 1,000 days, something ridiculous. Or Cody Rhodes, the son of Dusty Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, he is absolutely 100% winning. Don't really know what else is on the card, to be honest with you.
Is Mr. Perfect
No,
fighting Randy Savage? What about Hulk? Where's
the
Hulk?
Hulk Hogan is the only one of those that's not dead. But whether he might be at the he might be there, but he's there's no chance in hell he is actually wrestling. I
Hall of
think we
Fame,
have.
though. Interesting. You said Hall of Fame.
Hall of
We've
Fame.
got Hall of Fame. Maybe we can do that. Have it over a couple of nights, WrestleMania theme.
Stu, we have literally a minute and a half left, but I'm glad you said this because I've said, imagine the Hall of Fame. Imagine we were inducting like maybe three or four people, stick it in Wimbledon Theatre, sell tickets, make money, do what the wrestling does with the Hall of Fame, make t-shirts with the players that they're putting in. Da, da, da. It was a license to print money. And do you know what? People that say, oh, well, we should open it up to everyone that, not everyone can attend. And da, da, da. We could have done a ballot for maybe 100 free tickets. We could have
Yeah.
sold tickets for at £10 and maybe done like 50 £10 tickets in the lower section as well. We could have done all sorts of things. This could have been a huge, but it's not all about money, of course, as if you know my opinion on many things, but this was for the club, which needs a lot of money because we're still horrendously in debt. There was an opportunity there. Anyway, we have less than a minute to go. This is where we play chicken with when's it going to cut off?
Definitely.
So should I do the sign off?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll do that. Thank you, Stu, very much for joining me.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Updates from the game with Rochdale will be on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast. 9 Years TV will be live pre and post match on Saturday as well on YouTube and Facebook.
Yes, we've got Josh Davidson, by the way. Josh Davidson is joining us
Happy
in the
days.
studio.
Happy days. So Josh Davidson will be joining us. So tune in to that. Otherwise, watch WrestleMania on the weekend. WWE Network, £9.99, £9.99 a month. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4, and we shall speak to you again next week.